Two civilian men armed with machine guns patrol the grounds of an elevated building overlooking sunny wooded hills. Hallmark Entertainment presents an Alpine Median production. Hefty wooden and metal gates open automatically to let a large silver Cadillac into the grounds. The Cadillac drives past well-tended lawns and lush vegetation and pulls up outside a large and luxurious villa set among palm trees. Jane Doe, The Wrong Face. The Cadillac pulls up by a fountain in the courtyard of the villa. A burly man gets out of the driver's side and a thin Weasley man out of the rear. The thin man scans about.
This is a bit surreal.
What do you mean?
You know, all this stuff. You mean parking level 6? I'm alone, leave your car here. If I didn't know better, I think I should be worried.
You watch too many movies. This way.
They head past a pool to a vast sunny terrace.
Do our business out here. No reason not to enjoy the ocean, cool breeze.
Wow, this is some nice view you got here, Tommy.
Thanks. There's a lot wrong with this city. Too much traffic. Too much pollution. Overpopulation. But the one thing that makes it all bearable is to come home at the end of the day and take a look at this.
I'm sorry, I don't believe we've met.
I'm Alex Brandt.
Mr. Brandt, I thought you were still in Rio.
I got tired of being out of the country.
I mean, it's a pleasure to finally meet you.
My associates have told me about you. They tell me that you've done some good work for me.
I try.
I know you're here to fill Tommy in on some details of a deal that you were working on.
Yes, sir. There's a large shipment that some people I know need to unload quickly. Now, I've negotiated them down to sell the product below market value.
My boys have vouched for you. I'm in on the deal.
Great.
Tommy will look after you.
Brandt walks away with his mobile. Tommy opens a case.
One thing, Jimmy.
Yes, Mr. Brandt?
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Phil Rafelson? I understand that you've developed a relationship with Mr. Rafelson, and I guess I get a little uncomfortable when one of my employees strikes up a chummy relationship with the prosecutor.
Mr. Brandt, I assure you, there is nothing going on.
So the information I received in Brazil that you had cut a deal with the prosecutor is incorrect?
They tried to pinch me, but they had nothing. I mean, no deal was made.
And if I were to check you for a wire?
I'd be clean.
Would you mind if Tommy checked you?
No, go right ahead.
The metal case was full of money. Tommy frisks Jimmy and nods the okay to Brandt.
Very good. You have a lot to do. Tommy will look after you.
Yeah, I'm back in the country. How do we get this prosecutor, this Phil Rafelson, to call off his dog?
Oh, well, be creative. Think of something. He's got to get the point.
No. Tommy's taking care of that.
Tommy's behind Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's not going to be a problem.
Tommy shoots Jimmy. Cop cars on a grassy headland overlooking the ocean. A body lies beneath a sheet. Frank Darnell pulls up and is greeted by Phil Rafelson.
Hey, Phil.
Still checking on it.
Thanks for coming so quickly.
What's the story?
Well, the neighbor called this body in about an hour ago. There's no evidence that the murder took place here.
Body drop. Isolated area. No tire tracks. Pretty clean. Looks professional. Prosecuting attorneys usually aren't called in on a crime scene, so I assume you have some kind of relationship with the victim, right?
Yes, I do.
Who is he?
Name's Jimmy Costin. We hauled him in for racketeering a few months back. The moment I threatened him with some jail time, he jumped at the chance to start working for me as an informant.
Who did he work for?
Alex Brandt.
He tell you anything about Brandt?
Nothing we didn't know already.
Phil pulled the sheet back briefly.
We were working on something to nail Brandt. There was a deal about to go down, and Brandt was right in the middle of it.
Maybe Brandt figured out something was up. That'd be my guess.
We got a report that Brandt arrived back in the country a few days ago. Now, this could be our chance to nail him once and for all, Frank. But we gotta move fast before he tries to flee the country again. Can I count on CSA's cooperation?
Let me see what I can do.
Darnell and Marvin.
This came in from our Brazilian feed this morning. It's a little rough.
Right, yeah. We're not talking about that kind of money in an electronic transaction.
Alexei Alexandrovich. Now that plans are final, we need a way to secure funds.
You're right. We'll finalize the details tomorrow.
Fresh start, ready to break ground on this site right away.
Fresh start?
Be there. It will be delivered when.
Fresh start construction. It's Ray Jackson's company.
Alexei.
That's good enough for me. Time to settle up.
Right, that transaction is to go through Fresh Start.
A sign on a construction site shows a luxury development beneath the heading Fresh Start Projects. Darnell, posing as a surveyor, watches a man through a camera which relays the picture back to Marvin.
That's Eddie Bautista. Strong-arm robbery, attempted murder. It doesn't look that tough.
Marvin, who wears a headset, is giving him the details as he watches his screen at HQ. Darnell focuses on a black guy who's with Fast Eddie.
Mike the Mac Mitchell. Extortion, fraud, embezzlement. Nice guy. All right, here's a boy right here.
A shaven-headed guy.
You with me, Marv?
I get you 5x5, over.
Ray Jackson, that's him. I'd read you his rap sheet, but we don't have all day. I'm going in. Wish me luck.
Darnell, wearing a hard hat and fluorescent tabard, approaches the men as they talk.
All right, we're going to the foundation. We're going to level the field.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey. I don't know what's going on.
Morning, Ray.
Hank Darnell. What's with the getup? CSA finally had enough of you?
Nah, they still put up with me.
Hey, cop!
Quite a setup you got here. I'm impressed.
Workers gather.
You moved in here pretty slick. I'm impressed.
So why don't you tell me what's going on, right?
You tell me. You come in here, rouse me in front of my boys. How do you plan to do that and walk away in one piece?
All your boys here are on parole, right? I don't think there's anybody here that wants to pick up a violation for interfering with a federal officer. That'd be kind of stupid, don't you think? Meet my boys.
A couple of black CSA limos pull up. Plain-clothed agents leap out and train their guns on the workers.
Not bad, G-Man. Not bad.
A suburban clapboard house. Inside, Kathy, a.k.a. Jane Doe, kicks her legs and punches as she exercises. Her pretty blonde daughter Susan unwraps food as she heads for the front door.
Power bar! Is that your definition of breakfast?
I'm in a hurry. We have a pep assembly first period. Oh, and I won't be home for dinner tonight. I'm meeting some friends at the mall.
These friends have names?
Well, Jenna and Madison and maybe someone else.
Maybe he's not good enough, Susie Q.
Well, I don't even know if he likes me.
Call me.
Susan goes.
Love ya.
Get those papers to my assistant by tomorrow morning.
Phil ends a call in his office. An attractive brunette, Caroline, approaches him.
Wish me luck.
You don't have to do this, you know. You are so beautiful.
You know what I mean. I need to do this for myself. And I want to look my best on the campaign trail.
Yeah, well, you do whatever you want. But you know you're perfect to me.
He kisses her on the lips.
Thank you.
In a prison. A prison officer presses a button marked 35 in a row of buttons. Another officer opens cell 35. Jackson's in it. Jackson glares and shambles out. Burly Jackson walks along an upper landing where Darnell meets him.
Morning, Ray. Sleep well?
Why should, man? You got a clear conscience.
Makes one of us.
You come to apologize and send me home?
No, that's exactly why I'm here. How do you know?
In a secure room with Darnell and Phil.
I'm here to offer you a carrot. A chance to get out from under before I file international money laundering charges. And I suggest you take full advantage of it.
And if I don't?
Ray, I'd bet my pension that you're laundering money for Alex Brandt. I've been chasing this guy around the planet for about the past 3 years. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let the trail stop with you.
Ray, do you have any idea what happens with that kind of money?
Enlighten me, please.
Ray, that money goes to fund some of the most radical terrorist groups in this world. Not to mention some very prominent enemies of this country.
We intercepted a transmission from a source in Europe. Alex Brandt talking about electronic transfer of funds to an account, your account, Fresh Start Construction. So why would he say something like that if you weren't doing a little laundry work for him?
I did my time. When I got out, I did exactly what you nice people wanted. I went straight. I became a successful contractor, and I put a lot of guys back to work who could have wound up back in the joint.
I'd like to believe that.
You don't have enough for conviction.
Come on, Parker. We have more than enough to hold Jackson indefinitely while we investigate and without bail.
This conversation is over. I want to talk to my lawyer alone.
Phil shrugs and leaves with Darnell.
Do something, Fleming. What am I paying you for?
Hey, Ray, they're bluffing, all right? Now look, we'll file an injunction claiming restraint of trade. Now you tell me what the hell they have on you.
Nothing.
His lawyer walks away.
Ray's the worst of them. He's done hard time before.
Well, remember, Phil, I need to talk to you about Thursday.
What's Thursday?
Well, I was hoping to coax this guy into announcing his candidacy.
Oh, it's about time.
That's what Caroline keeps saying.
I'm going to throw out a fundraiser for him, generate some interest, maybe extract some money.
It always comes down to the money.
Uh-huh. What about Caroline? Will she make it to the party?
Well, I would think so. I have to pick her up at the doctor's office a little later this afternoon. The limo's going to bring her there.
Fleming and Darnell eye him.
Listen to me, I sound like a movie star.
An area boundary sign on a road reads, Beverly Hills. In a white, official-looking building, Anna, an attractive 40-something nurse in a white coat, gets out of a lift and walks down a pleasantly furnished corridor to a reception desk where a guy in scrubs is sitting.
And how are our pampered patients doing this morning?
Same as you left them. Miss Rafels is packed and ready to go. Oh, her husband called and said he'll pick her up at the doctor's office.
And where's Wilbur?
Her colleague points to a beefy, simple-looking guy who pushes an empty wheelchair into a room.
Car must be in the garage by now. I'm out of here.
Mac, would you stay a few minutes after your shift so I can take her downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Caroline's face is bandaged. Wilbur helps her into the wheelchair.
All right, Caroline, are you ready for your big debut?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Rafelson is going to meet you at Dr. Manser's office.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, do we have all of her personal belongings, Wilbur? Thank you, and let's move out.
Bye-bye, Mrs. R.
Hey, you take care of yourself now.
Don't try to talk if your face feels too swollen. It'll take a few days for you to feel comfortable.
Anna wheels Caroline into a lift and gets in with her. Caroline's wearing a hat with a brim, and there are holes in the bandages for her eyes, nose, and mouth. As the lift descends, Anna gently pats and strokes Caroline's upper arm. The lift arrives at its destination. A sign reads, Parking Level 2. Anna wheels Caroline out to a white stretch limo, where a chauffeur waits.
Hey.
He hurries to open a rear door.
You know where to go?
Yes. Dr. Manser at the Shield Medical Building.
Okay.
I make this run 3 times a week, maybe. I think that guy's so rich, he could buy Beverly Hills.
The limo pulls up outside the DeShields Medical Building. A young man in scrubs comes out to open the rear door of the limo. Caroline, carrying a holdall, gets out and enters the building. The young guy leads her down a corridor and through a door into a surgery reception area. A receptionist.
Good morning, Mrs. Rafelson. Thanks, Tom. Here, I'll take that for you. Well, it's showtime. You must be so excited. We're in exam room 4 today, okay? There we go. Gonna get right up on this table here. Up you go. There you go. How you feeling?
Caroline, good to see you. Look who's here.
Hi, honey. You ready to meet the new you?
I always warn my patients not to expect too much change. The goal with retinoplasty is to erase 10 years, not to turn you into a supermodel.
Frankly, she looked just fine to me before.
Drum roll, please.
Dr. Manser gets his scissors ready, removes Caroline's hat, and hands it to Phil.
Now, don't be scared by what you see. The surgery went very well, but it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks for the swelling and the bruising to dissipate. How was Hermione's hideaway? Did they treat you good? I send a lot of patients there.
He cuts the bandage.
Let's see what magic I've brought.
It's a very young and different woman.
What is this?
Hey! Hey, stop! Come back here!
Excuse me, miss?
Nurse,
where are you going?
Wait a second! What the hell is
What's
going on here?
Here?
Nurse!
Phil chases the woman to a lift.
Wait, I just want to talk to you!
The door closes on him. Phil, a slender, white-haired man, throws down his wife's hat. He charges through a door and takes the stairs. The young woman, who has brown hair in a ponytail, dashes out of the lift and streaks out of the hospital towards an SUV. Phil is close on her tail. A driver waiting in the SUV calls out.
Come on, come on! Go, come on!
She gets into the SUV and it tears off. And gets out of her silver Chrysler. Her shortish hair is tousled. In the cafe, a woman with a ponytail serves another woman.
There you go.
Bye. Kathy's next.
Hi, can I have an iced frappe with no latte, please?
Sure.
A tow truck edges towards the Chrysler and lowers a tow bar. Kathy checks the watch while the waitress makes her latte. The truck driver clamps a tow bar to the Chrysler.
There you go.
Kathy, who has reddish hair, takes her drink and goes to a tall circular table beside a window. Her eyes wander idly to the glass door of the cafe. She gapes when she sees the truck tow away her car. Darnell drives up.
Hi.
Oh, okay. What's this all about, Frank?
Want to help you get your car back?
Right.
Need a ride?
She looks deflated.
Actually, I do.
A sign, Simi Valley Auto Wrecking.
I've given you more at bats than a kindergarten softball league, and it always ends up the same way. With you talking me into working with you against my better judgment.
You got great judgment. That's why I'm here.
They pull up in the wrecker's yard and get out.
I think we make a great team. I think we work well together. We got synchronicity.
Synchronicity?
Yeah.
Like that identity theft case?
Well, I just thought that it made more sense that I took the woman out than you.
For dinner and drinks, maybe, but not the whole weekend.
Good point.
I gotta go.
Kathy gets in her Chrysler. Darnell gets in with her.
Frank, I gotta work.
Look, just hear me out for a second. We're dealing with a very high-profile kidnapping of a federal official.
Kidnapping? Who's the victim?
Caroline Rapelson. She's the wife to the U.S. Attorney, Phil Rapelson.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Well, Phil and I have been working on a case together. It has to do with money laundering and terrorist funding. It's got everything in it.
I'm listening.
All right, here's what we know so far. Caroline Rapelson just got a routine facelift from a doctor, Andrew Manser. Now, she was transferred to a luxury aftercare facility, a place called Hermione's Hideaway. She spent the night there. Today, limo comes by, picks her up, and takes her back to the doctor to have the bandages removed.
Okay, what's the puzzle?
The bandages came off, but it wasn't Caroline Rapelson that was under all that gauze. It was a teenage girl. Teenage girl gets up, she bolts out the door.
Well, that's a neat trick. Can I go visit this doctor?
They get out.
Look, if it was easy, I wouldn't be here. Phil saw his wife last night and said there was no question it was Caroline.
Somebody obviously made the switch, presumably after he left his wife in aftercare.
We interviewed the nurses, the technicians, the whole staff. They said there's no way that that could have happened.
Really? That's intriguing.
Look, I need Phil firing on all cylinders, okay? That means I want you to find a wife. You're the best person for the job.
Here are the most recent photos I have of Caroline. If you hear anything new, I'll be at the office.
All right.
They're at Phil's house.
Hello.
I think we have something that you want.
Who is this?
What is it?
We have a very pretty lady who wants to talk to you.
Caroline?
She's a little excited, but we'll calm it down.
You better not hurt her.
If you cooperate, she'll be fine. If not, well, I suggest you do what we tell you.
Phil eyes the cop with him.
I'm listening.
A stretch Humvee pulls out of a garage which is full of limos, including white stretch limos. Darnell and Kathy pull up at the garage and get out of their car.
How much do you charge to rent a limo for the evening?
It's $85 an hour, and we have a four-hour minimum. Boss has no exceptions, company policy.
What's your company policy on kidnapping?
I go get the boss.
I don't want to talk to you, boss. I want to talk to you. Your name's Gregor Alexeyevich, right?
You drove Caroline Rafelson from Hermione's Hideaway to Dr. Manser's this morning?
Right.
Anything happen out of the ordinary while you were there?
Yet. Drive to the Shield Medical, enter on level 2, park, and wait.
Did she say anything to you?
Not a word, not even thank you.
Darnell moves aside.
Here's Frank, go. When? Okay, I'm on my way. Excuse us. Phil just got a call on the ransom demand. We gotta get over there right away.
Frank, I gotta get home.
You got a choice. Either you go with me, or I'll have the limo driver take you back to the garage and drop you off. Either way.
Well, that's nice. The last lady that got in his car disappeared.
Darnell offers his card.
Look, I'll be in touch. If you think of anything, you call me at the number.
Talk about kidnapping.
In his office, Phil sits with his elbows on the desk, resting his forehead against his hands. Donnell and Kathy are shown in.
Frank.
Hi, Phil.
They've got Caroline. They put her on the phone. She sounded terrified.
Are you sure it was your wife's voice? I'm sorry, I'm Jane Doe.
Yeah, of course I'm sure. Anyway, they called me on my personal cell phone.
Caller ID?
Restricted.
You said they. Was there more than one caller on the line?
No, it was just the one guy, and I didn't recognize his voice. I'm sorry. Sit down, please. Sorry, I know I'm not being of much help. I've been a prosecutor for 30 years, but when it's happening to you...
Tell me about the ransom demand.
The call said if I don't drop all charges against Ray Jackson and release him from jail within 72 hours, Caroline will be killed.
Ray Jackson?
Yeah.
He also said that if any of this leaks out, they won't even wait that long.
Well, excuse me, but why don't you just drop the charges and refile them a week later?
No, I have to dismiss with prejudice so that Jackson can't be rearrested and charged again.
Well, they did their homework. What'd you say to the caller?
I don't know. I didn't say anything, really. I stalled. I played dumb. Just trying to push back that deadline. Of course, it's no use. The 72 hours is non-negotiable.
Frank told me that you visited Caroline at Hermione's hideaway last night.
Yes. She was so excited about the unveiling.
Phil, are you sure it was Caroline under all those bandages? I mean, you're positive.
Yeah, I think I'd know if it was someone else.
I'm just touching all bases, Phil.
I know. I'm sorry. What's killing me is that I should have spotted it immediately at the doctor's office. I mean, the way she didn't say anything, the way she carried her body, I just put it down to nerves. If we could have grabbed that girl right away, she would have led us right to Caroline.
Can you describe her?
The police sent me this fax. Looks just like her.
A sketch.
She barely looks 16.
You know, for all we know, somebody could have given this girl $100 and told her they were playing a practical joke.
I suppose. But whoever that someone was made pretty damn sure she got away.
Can you remember anything else about her at all?
Nothing more than I told the police. She was about Caroline's height, Caroline's coloring. She was pretty, but not a great beauty. Not like Caroline was.
Kathy shoots Phil a pensive look. A guy undoes a padlock on a door. The imposter's in the room.
How long do I have to stay in here?
Till it's time to go.
Oh, when's that?
Oh, you'll be the first to know.
Look, there's nothing to do.
Quit your whining. You're getting paid.
I'm not whining. I'm bored.
He pushes her back.
Take a nap. Read a book. Do something. Do it quietly, huh?
The SUV driver leaves the room. Mervyn greets Darnell and Kathy as they enter HQ.
Hi, boss. I have the information you asked for. Workups on Dr. Manzer's staff and the car service personnel. Phone records, fingerprints from Mrs. Rafelson's room at the aftercare facility.
Marvin, cut to the chase for me. Any connection to Ray Jackson at all?
No, sir, but we're still digging.
Okay, good. Pull up the graphics for me, will you?
Mervyn picks up a remote.
So, Frank, you really think that Ray Jackson is involved?
It's tough to forget 19 counts of bank robbery.
Jackson's a real role model. He employs a bunch of ex-cons at his site.
So you think he employs them to do something else, like kidnapping?
It could be.
Marvin, are you having any luck piecing together that chatter into something coherent?
Not completely, but we're getting close.
All right, this came in just before we rousted Jackson. That's Alex Brand.
The Alex Brand?
Is there anything else I can do? Yes.
We've been chasing that creep around for years. You got a line on him through Jackson?
Marvin, could you pull up the photos for me?
Yeah, we think Alex Brand is using Ray Jackson as a front. What we don't know is the identity of Brandt's U.S. partner.
They watch footage of Brandt and a colleague.
What are they talking about? A meeting? What is it, a money launderer's convention or what?
Look, listen to me. I need you to concentrate on Caroline Rafelson. I'll take care of Jackson. We need to dig fast. We're on a nasty deadline.
Marvin, you remember Jane Doe?
Jane Doe.
Yeah, you get her anything she needs, okay?
Yes, then you'll want to see this.
Okay.
Background on Mac McIntyre. He was the night nurse. On duty from 11 p.m. until he was relieved at 9 in the morning by the day nurse, Anna Reichman. There was also an orderly, mentally challenged gentleman named Wilbur Russell. He came in at 8. McIntyre was alone in the hallway all night with a clear view to the door of Carolyn Rafelson's room. He could have seen the switch or made it himself.
What do we know about this Mac McIntyre?
Okay, that's the kicker. He has what appears to be an excellent resume, except every reference turned out to either be a wrong number or out of order.
How convenient.
Uh-huh. We're running his social and his prints. If it gets hairy, I can always send his DNA to CODIS.
Excellent. I'm going to take this, okay, Mervin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Kathy, a.k.a. Jane, takes Mac's file.
Anything?
Dinner. How am I going to get home?
He hands her car keys.
Company car, moving up, huh?
This too.
And a badge. Old times.
Be careful with them.
I will be.
They exchange smiles and she leaves. A black pickup truck pulls up in sunshine outside Kathy's suburban clapboard house. Jack, a handsome man in his 40s, gets out and walks towards the house. He eyes Kathy's car in the driveway and looks puzzled.
Hello?
Hey, honey!
Hi! Buy a new car and not tell me about it?
No, it's just a loaner while mine's in the shop.
A car drops off their son, Nick, and a girl.
Hey! Who's the girl?
Thanks for driving me home.
I don't know. Thanks!
Bye!
Looks kind of happy.
Yeah.
Blonde Nick strides merrily into the house as the girl's driven off.
Excuse me, wait a minute.
What?
What's going on?
I just want a snack.
I'm just starting dinner, and besides, you left this morning all depressed, and today you're happy. What happened at school?
You guys will just make a big deal out of it.
We won't make a big deal out of it, will we, Jack?
Well, we'll do our best.
Okay. You heard they're having a school dance, right?
Heard. I barely escaped having to serve on the refreshment committee.
That wasn't so lucky. Chaperone committee.
Well, I'm going. With Carlos Solomon.
You have a date? You can't have a date. You're a baby.
That's my boy.
First of all, I'm not a baby. I'm almost 13.
Well, you're going to be 13 in 11 months. I mean, well, you can't. You're just too young to have a date, honey. I mean, pretty soon you're going to be married, and then you're going to have kids, and then I'm going to be a grandma. I'm way too young to be a grandma, young man.
Aren't you getting a little ahead of yourself?
Anyway, Susan's going to have kids way before I do.
Bite your tongue. In some parts of the world, people get married at 12.
Well, in other countries, people eat their neighbors for dinner. It doesn't make it right.
This is what I call making a big deal.
All right, so I lied.
Just do me one favor. Don't tell Susan.
Why not?
Because beyond the usual evil big sister issue, she's friends with Carla's sister, Courtney, and she'll drive me nuts about this.
Well, maybe she'll be happy for you, honey.
Sure, just like my parents are. I'm gone.
Hello? Yeah, just a second. It's Darnell from U.S. Puzzle.
Oh. Hi.
She leaves the room.
Mac McIntyre.
Anxious to meet him?
Yeah, well, don't look for him at work. Those phony references turn out to be a cover-up for a felony conviction on armed robbery.
That's a coincidence. Don't you think?
Ex-con Ray Jackson, our prime suspect. Ex-con Mac McIntyre stationed next to the victim. Yeah, I'd say so. So far, I can't find anything to link the two of them together. I'm afraid he's going to escape town.
Frank.
Look, Kathy, you're going to have to go tonight. You have to.
Okay. What's the address?
Night, Kathy drives through busy streets. She pulls up outside a quaint clapboard house with a modest front garden. Kathy gets out of her company Dodge station wagon and goes to the spiked railings in front of the house. She takes a note off one of the spikes. It reads, "Game is on. See you at the court, Mac." Kathy puts the note back on the railing and walks off along the pavement. Young men play basketball.
Hi. Yeah. Play them off. Play them tight.
Stay on.
Watch the shot.
Oh!
Oh, man, check him out.
Kathy joins them on the outdoor court.
Yeah, let's go.
Hold him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
Right, here we go.
You got it, bro.
Kathy catches the ball.
Hey, yo, lady, the ball.
Is one of you Mac McIntyre?
Come on, woman, give us the ball. We ain't got all day.
Well, he's in big time trouble. Nice.
She scores. Mac catches the ball and approaches her gingerly.
Yeah, I'm Mac McIntyre.
What's going on, Mac?
It's about Harmonies Hardaway?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I lied on my resume, all right? So they send the feds off of this now?
Never said I was a fed.
Well, you gotta be somebody. Cracking up on my game like this, right?
I'm Jane Doe from the CSA. I'm here because Caroline Rafelson was kidnapped.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. I told the nursing director I didn't know anything about it. She fired me anyway.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, me too. So unless you got some more questions, I'm going to get back to my game with my fellas, because I got money hanging on this, and as you know, I'm currently unemployed.
Couldn't Ray Jackson help you with that?
Who's Ray Jackson?
You don't know him?
Nah, I never heard of no Ray Jackson.
All right, look. Phil Rafelson swears that his wife was at Hermione's hideaway last night. This morning, she disappeared. Yeah. Now, do you have any idea how that happened? Can you help me at all?
Listen, when Mr. Rafelson left, his wife didn't make a peep for the whole night, okay? Because I could see a door from my station.
You never left your desk?
Hey, maybe I went to the vending machine or used the bathroom or something, but not enough time for somebody to take her body out of the room and put something else in there. Listen, lady, I have nothing to do with all this. I don't know anything, all right?
I hope you didn't for your sake. Just play, man. Good luck.
Man, everything all right?
Everything's cool, man. Come on, let's play ball.
All right, cool, man. Hey, ball in. Here we go.
Come on, y'all. I got you. Balls out. Go.
I got you, dog.
Move it.
You always drop in without calling?
I was in the neighborhood.
Jackson gets up from doing press-ups.
I have a lawyer, you know.
This won't take long, right? I'll be gone before you can say.
Jackson shakes his head, then follows Darnell. In a visiting room...
So what brings you by, Frank?
First we had you for suspicion of money laundering. Now kidnapping. You're moving up, right? That's a capital offense.
Unless I dematerialized out of my cell and rematerialized back in it, you and I both know I didn't kidnap anyone.
You got 50 ex-cons working for you. I doubt it'd be much tougher for a fresh start construction to put together a crime game than what a roofing crew.
And why don't you tell your officer to drop their case against me? Save everyone a lot of grief.
Trust me on something. If there's any grief coming down, it's coming your way.
You can't pin kidnapping on me any more than you can pin money laundering. You got a case against Alex Brandt? Then arrest him. Do your job. Otherwise, let me go.
Ray, don't talk to him.
Thanks for watching my back, Fleming.
Darnell, please. You know you're not supposed to talk to my client alone.
Why don't you tell me what you were thinking when you brought Phil here? He's too emotionally involved in this.
I made him. I'm assuming that you're denying any connection with my wife's disappearance. Well, of course we deny it. Anybody could have used Mr. Jackson's name.
I didn't even know you were married. You look a little light in the loafers to me.
Phil, calm down. We can find another way to settle this. Please calm down.
No, I don't believe you. Caroline's life is on the line, and he knows all about it.
I don't know anything about it. Can I sue him for assault?
Phil, you don't even have probable cause.
You're less than 48 hours.
Whose side are you on, Parker? We've known each other for 20 years.
20 years? Well, you two are buddies? You're fired, haircut. Frick. Get him out of here before he hurts himself.
Let's go. Come on.
Let's go.
Darnell steers a struggling Phil out.
No, that went well. Phil, you're gonna have to stay away.
I could kill him myself.
I'll have to pretend we didn't hear that. Phil, you know where my sympathies lie. And now that I'm no longer representing that guy, I'll do whatever I can.
I understand. Thank you.
Just don't let this keep you from your future. There'll be a lot of influential people at the party Thursday night.
People who are interested in investing in a candidate like you.
Fleming pats Phil's shoulder and goes. Darnell and Phil watch through a window as a flailing Jackson is manhandled back to his cell. Kathy, wearing jeans and a tailored short suede jacket, gets out of a lift at Hermione's hideaway. She marches confidently past staff and down to the reception desk.
Anna? Anna Reichman?
That's me.
Could I speak with you for a minute? I'm from the CSA.
Okay, well, if you could make it fast, I've got to get to the bank, and I've got a Rockstar facelift arriving in 1 hour.
Rockstars shouldn't be having facelifts.
Rockstars shouldn't be collecting Social Security either, but they are.
How well did you know McIntyre?
Not as well as you might think. He is night shift, I'm day shift. Other than saying hello to him in the hall, I can't say I knew him at all. I assume you're saying that he was involved in the kidnapping?
Well, he was alone with the patient all night. So, could you be positive that the woman who was wheeled downstairs to the limousine actually was Caroline Rafelson?
Honestly? No, I can't. You know, her face was completely covered, and she didn't say anything. Let's see, I told her not to try to talk, because usually a patient's face is so sore that it's painful for them to try to speak. I'm sorry. I wish I could be more help. Mrs. Rafelson seemed like such a nice person, and of course it reflects so badly on Hermione's hideaway. You know, I've been here 12 years. We haven't had a bit of trouble until now.
Except for the occasional rock star screaming, Mads, Mads!
Oh my, that's such a beautiful necklace. Looks antique. Is it old?
It's new to me. Birthday gift from my mother.
So, oh, and the matching ring and earrings. That's beautiful. Back to the salt mines. Do you know where Wilbur Russell is?
Yes, he's just making up room 425.
Is that Caroline's room?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know Wilbur is...
Yes, mentally challenged. I know.
But highly functioning. We've never been sorry we hired him, not for a day.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Woo! So sparkly. It's beautiful. Bye. Wilbur?
You're the lady from Washington. Holy cow. I heard you talking with Miss Anna. You're the CSA there in Washington, D.C. We studied it in civics class.
Oh, no, actually, the headquarters is in Washington. I work right here in L.A.
Well, how long have you worked there? Do you carry a gun? Is it a fun job?
Sometimes it's fun, and I've worked there for a long time, on and off, mostly off. And, no, I don't carry a gun. I don't believe him. I use my fingerprint. So how long have you worked here at Hermione's Hideaway?
Oh, holy cow. 6 years, 8 months, and 4 days.
You must be very good at your job.
I try extra hard, because I have to.
Oh, well, this is an A-number-one hospital corner. how well did you know Mac McIntyre?
Wilbur glances out of the room and quickly checks on Anna at reception.
Mac wouldn't do anything bad, no matter what Miss Anna says. He's always really nice to me, even when he didn't have to be. Even if I forgot something or made a mistake.
We're not saying he did anything wrong. We don't know what happened. We don't even know how Caroline Rafelson disappeared. So, do you remember if she said anything to you yesterday?
No, not in words. She grunted once, and she waved.
So, you're not really sure if Caroline was the woman you took downstairs yesterday?
Well, I put her in the chair. Miss Anna took her to the garage.
Miss Anna?
I thought it was her. She was wearing that big hat.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wilbur, if you remember anything else, would you please call me?
She gives him her card.
Oh, is this a real CSA card?
Yeah. Thank you.
Life.
The SUV driver unlocks the padlock. The young woman, lying on a bed in the Spartan room, sits up hurriedly.
Feeling better?
Let me out.
You're not gonna scream, are you? I heard you last night. FYI, sweetheart, I'm the only one that can hear you.
Look, I just wanna get out of town, okay? You give me the money, I disappear. I don't say anything to anybody.
Oh, I wish I could believe that.
Look, I really don't even know anything. I don't even know you.
That's not entirely true. You do know me. One day you could be reading the newspaper and...
Look, you can't keep me locked up here forever.
I never planned to. It was a test to see how stable you were. Frankly, you're not doing so well.
I'll do better. I promise.
Please, kid, huh?
Come on, man, let me go.
Okay, in one condition. I put you on a plane myself and you never come back here again.
Fine, send me anywhere. I don't care, and I won't come back. And I don't even read the newspapers anyway.
Well, remember, if you did, you're in this every bit as deep as I am. You dig?
I do.
Kathy serves dinner.
Look at this. Everybody's been so busy lately. It's good to have a family dinner. I feel like I should take a picture.
No, please don't.
How many times do I get to sit together with all my favorite people?
I thought we always got together like this every night.
Guys, humor me, would you?
You too. Humor your dad, now.
So, Nick, are you excited about your date?
Nick has a date? This Nick? Where are you taking her, the science fair?
Nick has a date for the dance, and you're going to be happy for him, honey.
Who's the victim?
No one you know.
Carla something, right?
Carla? No. Not Carla Solomon. My brother's going on a date with Carla Solomon? This is a tragedy. This is like a really, 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 really bad dream.
What's wrong with Carla Solomon?
Nothing.
She's Courtney's little sister, and she's even more of a nerd than Nick is.
Your brother's not a nerd, honey.
Yeah, he is.
I like Carla. She's smart and she's funny, unlike you.
I don't care if she can fly. I don't want you embarrassing me by bringing her to the school dance.
You know, I may have a solution. Well, since you're so upset about your brother taking Carla to the dance, maybe you shouldn't be there to see it. After all, we wouldn't want to compromise your reputation. What do you think, honey?
This isn't happening, Mom.
It might be happening. Let's sleep on it.
At a sports club.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. You know, she said
that she got a paternity.
A couple sit chatting beside an Olympic-sized swimming pool which is surrounded by lush trees. Darnell walks past and on towards a tennis court where Parker Fleming is playing.
Nice shot!
That's enough!
Fleming goes to the netting.
I guess Jackson wasn't kidding about the tennis club good old boy network, huh?
Well, Mr. Jackson has a chip on his shoulder the size of Kansas.
Think Phil's gonna cave? Drop the charges against Jackson?
Jackson's not my client anymore, remember? He fired me.
You know, actually, that's why I'm here. It would help if you were back on the case. Look, you have a relationship with both men. You make the perfect intermediary. It works.
Oh, Darnell, you've got some nerve, you know that? You started up this whole hornet's nest, and now you want me to go and beg for my job back from this semi-literate two-time loser. Hell, where do I sign up?
You usually represent people you don't like?
I invariably represent people I don't like. You know, there's no proof that Jackson had anything to do with any of this. Ransom demand or not.
Still sound like his lawyer to me.
Fleming dabs his sweaty face with a towel.
All right, I'll talk to him. I'm going to tell him we had this little conversation. If you're trying to play me, you picked the wrong guy.
I'm not trying to play you. Mind if we go off the record for a minute? Look, the truth is I'm worried about Phil. He's got a lot on him right now. I'm just saying, as a friend, is there anything you think you can do for him?
Well, you know, I was hoping my little fundraiser would cheer him up.
Nothing like a black tie event to help you forget about your kidnapped wife.
Yeah. Hey, you're welcome to come if you want to, yeah.
He reads the invitation Fleming hands him.
$100 a plate. I don't think I'll be going to any party soon.
Well, if you change your mind, I know Phil could use the support.
Brent on a call.
I understand the situation is complicated, but it's not my problem. That's why I hired you, to take care of these things. Now, like I said before, get the feds off my back.
Tommy brings Brandt a tray of food.
So, Mr. Brandt, is the transaction still on for later?
No, I don't know. We've run into some trouble. The feds have frozen Fresh Start Construction's assets, and that's created a bit of a dilemma. Without access to our money, we can't do business.
So what's next?
We wait, and we let our employees do what they have to do.
And what happens if they're unable to cool the feds off?
It's bad enough that I had to come all the way back to this country to take care of things. If our employees can't do their jobs, now you and I might have to make some house calls.
I understand.
The sign for the Fresh Start project. Kathy pulls up at the site office, which is a timber cabin, and gets out. She makes for the cabin and climbs a set of metal steps up to it. She checks about her, then opens the door and calls inside.
Hello?
Fast Eddie's spotted her.
Hello?
Eddie ducks behind plant machinery to spy on her. Kathy enters the office cautiously and begins to search through plans. She finds a letter amongst the plans. It's addressed to Jackson from someone at Park Fields Development. An American Bull Terrier on a long chain runs in.
Oh, hello. Hi. Calm down. It's all good. Okay, I'm just going to be going right now.
Dangerous place to be snooping around all by your lonesome.
I'm not really snooping. I was just thinking about opening a boutique here in one of these, places.
You seem nervous.
Not really. Is he trained?
Not really. You a cop?
Not really. Well, I guess I'll be going.
Eddie stands in the doorway. Tall and handsome, with a goatee beard and dark hair drawn back in a ponytail, he eyes her coldly, then steps aside. Kathy affects a nonchalant air as she passes him and heads down the steps. Kathy drives away up a steep, dusty side track to the road. A brown car follows Kathy's Dodge as she hits the road and drives away from the site. Kathy clocks the brown car in her rearview mirror. Kathy speeds down a sunny road lined with white houses either side. She checks her mirror again. The battered brown car's right behind her.
Aren't you boys being a bit obvious?
Kathy smiles to herself.
Wanna go for a ride?
She turns sharp left onto a track. The brown car with two of Jackson's guys in it slides to the driver.
Who is this lady? Come on.
Kathy turns again. The smart Dodge station wagon kicks up a trail of dust.
Think it's a company car.
The brown car skids and is enveloped in dust as Kathy bumps along sunny tracks. One track splits and each car takes a different fork.
Idiot, let's go over here!
The brown car bumps over onto Kathy's track.
Step on, step on.
The track's now rougher and steeper.
There she goes, there she goes. Hey, watch out!
The brown car skids to a halt.
Whoa!
Kathy's smile fades when she realizes she's heading for the edge of a cliff. She brakes and stops right at the edge. Shocked, she pauses, then reverses. Kathy sets off back down the track. The brown car starts up it again. The two vehicles are on a collision course. Kathy forces the brown car to swerve. Having lost the game of chicken, the brown car reverses and chases a jubilant Kathy.
Woohoo! All right!
There she goes!
They're on her tail. Kathy veers right, creating a dust cloud which obscures the brown car driver's vision. The brown car flies over a small drop and lands with a crash.
Hope you had your seatbelts on, guys!
The guys clamber out of their battered car.
Nice! You idiot!
Kathy stands beside a pylon on a grassy hillside and looks at the guys through binoculars.
That was really nice. You let a girl beat you like that? You're supposed to be...
The SUV rolls up.
Look, you're gonna explain it to him, okay? Not me this time. You lost her, you talk to him.
Kathy watches from above as the burly SUV guy walks over to the others.
Well, this looks like it went great.
Yeah, well, we kind of had a hard time keeping up.
Driving a muscle car with a V8 engine?
We definitely got her attention, okay? Just like you want.
The burly guy shrugs and goes back to the SUV.
Morons!
Looking through her binoculars, Kathy focuses on the SUV's Californian number plate.
Hey, what else do you have?
Darnell on a call in his car.
Hey, listen, I gotta go. Right.
Kathy pulls up beside him, and they talk through their open windows.
Frank, I gotta get home. Any idea on the gruesome twosome who were chasing me?
There's not enough info, but the man you saw them meet, I was able to nail him down. His name is Owen Kramer.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's a PI. Strangely enough, he's in good standings. He lives in Valley Village. Will you come along?
Well, it's practically on my way home. You find me amusing?
No. I find you reassuring. In the world of chaos and confusion, Kathy Davis never changes.
All right. I love this car. You want to race?
A for sale sign hangs in sunshine outside a house which has a broad stretch of lawn between it and the pavement. Darnell and Kathy pull up in their cars and get out. Both wearing shades, they walk to a wooden gate. Darnell removes his shades and nods Kathy over to another wooden gate across a yard. She goes through it and down the side of the house, which is for sale. Kathy ducks beneath the level of a window as she passes it. Ahead of her, there's a window with bars over it. Inside the house, Kramer talks to the young impersonator.
You got everything packed?
Yeah, ready to go.
Kramer motions for the girl to keep out of sight, then goes to answer the door.
Hi.
Hey.
Owen Kramer?
Yeah.
My name's Frank Darnell. I'm with the CSA.
There's a possibility that one of your investigations has intersected with one of ours. I wanted to talk to you about it. You got a minute?
Sure. What's the case?
It has to do with an ex-con named Ray Jackson, you know?
Can't say I do.
You ever do any work for Fresh Start Construction?
Nope.
About Fleming Wallace and DeLuca?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sure about that? The reason why I ask is because we pulled your phone records and So you've called 3 times there in the last 2 weeks.
Huh.
Kramer's eyes narrow.
Fleming Wallace
DeLuca.
At the back of the house, Kathy moves stealthily towards the barred window and looks in. She sees a Spartan bedroom. At the front door...
Wait a minute. Fleming Wallace. Oh, yeah. I did something for them. Skip Tracer. Did that happen to involve a 16-year-old girl? Blonde, 5'5", 120 pounds?
Nah, I remember that, huh?
Sounds nice.
Kathy creeps to another barred window round the back and has a look through that. It looks into the same Spartan bedroom, where there's a chest of drawers, a chair and a bed. Kathy suddenly spots a dustbin full of rubbish. A woman's magazine is on top of the rubbish bags. She picks the mag up with a hanky.
You mind if I look at your records?
Sure, got a warrant. I mean, I'd love to help you, but those rules are there to protect us from government harassment.
You know what you mean. Jackson feels the same way.
If you don't mind, I gotta go to the airport.
Yeah, sure. Listen, you think of anything, give me a call. The girl's in more trouble than she realizes. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Kramer takes Darnell's card and shuts the door.
Come on, let's go.
They know about me?
Yeah. Which is why you're spending next week in a luxury health spa in Arizona, all expenses paid. Give me some credit, kid. I've been at this a long time. Come on, get your stuff. Let's get out of here.
Darnell strolls out to Kathy on the street.
You get anything out of him?
Nah, he's dancing. You're not going to get in there without a search warrant, though.
Yeah, well, I found this in the trash can. Doesn't look like Kramer's type of reading material.
The mag, New Teens.
Check it out, see what comes up.
Good.
A tall, slender young woman wearing a tracksuit top and trousers runs up a track in sunshine. Her brown hair is tied back in a long ponytail. She runs along a sun-baked ridge and stops at a cliff which overlooks a rocky area leading down to a grassy basin. She stares down. The teenage girl lies sprawled on her back at the bottom of the rocks. Kathy enters CSA HQ with coffees and goes to Darnell's desk.
Don't you people ever sleep?
No, never.
Here's a coffee like you like it, blonde and sweet.
Thanks.
So why'd you drag me down here? What's going on with this Kramer PI guy?
Well, his record checks out and his story checks out, too. I reached Fleming Wallace and DeLuca, and they say that Kramer's a regular hire. He also has no connection to Ray Jackson or Fresh Start Construction. Now, the magazine you found, you ran the prints... Nothing could be used.
All right. What about this address on the label? Top one modeling agency, 16 Dartmouth Street. It's a girls' modeling agency?
It's worth a look.
Me?
You.
I brought the coffee.
It's you. Go.
The name Hollywood stands in big letters on a wooded hillside. Two young women in their mid-teens sit in the waiting room of the Top One modeling agency. Kathy's there and picks up photos of models that are lying about. A fat man with a moustache sees a teenage girl out of his office.
Yeah, you've definitely got potential. Come back when you're ready to start.
Kathy walks up to him.
Oh, sorry, lady. You are definitely in the wrong place.
No, I really wanted to look at your clientele. I have a photo shoot coming up, and I could use some fresh faces.
Couldn't we all? All right, come on in. Let's look at some girls.
To the teenagers.
You two. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I'm sure we got some girls for you here somewhere. Ah. Here, take a peek. These are as fresh as they get.
Thanks.
Skylar.
Kathy looks at photos.
Yeah, well, she looked 18. I hate politicians. See something you like?
What about this one?
The imposter girl, Holly Brubaker.
No. Not her. She's, on a job right now.
No? Oh, really? Well, I kind of had my heart set on her.
Oh, come on, you're making a mess.
Kathy steals a document while Skylar clears up.
Look, seems like this is a bad time. I'll call you later.
Hey, lady. Hey, you got any daughters?
Kathy leaves his office and shows ID to the teenage girls.
You two. Out of here.
What?
They go.
Frank? I know her name. Is that... What? Oh, no. I'll be right there.
The area where the girl, Holly, was discovered is teeming with uniformed and plain-clothed police. Kathy makes her way down a rocky, scrubby slope. Forensics personnel in protective clothing examine the area. Kathy approaches Darnell, who reaches out a hand to her.
Over here.
Resting his hand on her back, he steers her over to the body. A forensics man photographs Holly.
16 years old.
My daughter Susan, 16.
They identified her as Holly Brubaker. She's a runaway from Billings, Montana.
She had no idea what she was getting into.
Phil and Mason made a positive ID off a photo.
Now we know our kidnappers are murderers.
So a girl never knew what hit her.
Yeah, but she did know who.
The document.
Take a look at this. I lifted this from her modeling agency. It's her contract. Do you notice anything about the name of the company that hired her?
Remark. No, never heard of it.
Neither have I. But I know that Remark spells Kramer backwards. Could be a coincidence, but...
It's enough of a reason to give Kramer another visit. Maybe jar his memory.
Kathy stares down sadly at Holly's spread-eagled body. Darnell pulls up in his car outside Kramer's and gets out with Kathy. They walk purposefully to the house and enter through the first wooden gate, which is open. Inside the house, Kramer spots them and hurriedly turns on a tape on a ghetto blaster. Kathy knocks on the front door. She peers through a window and sees the ghetto blaster in the empty kitchen. Kramer legs it through French windows. He runs over into the garage via a side door, then opens the main door to get to his SUV in the driveway. Darnell runs down the side of the house and out onto the street. He draws his gun.
Freeze!
Kramer does.
Hands behind your head.
Standing at his open driver's door, Kramer obeys and turns to face the SUV.
Legs apart. I know my rights. Now either book me or get me out of these handcuffs. This ain't even a police station. What do you think you're doing?
Remember those intercepting investigations I was telling you about?
They're in a morgue. Darnell pulls Holly out of a refrigerator. Her face is uncovered.
They collided.
They watch Kramer keenly. He looks down uneasily.
I know her.
Darnell glares at him.
Do you know her?
I recognize her. Out-of-state bail jumper. Multiple DUIs. Guess she got back behind a wheel, huh?
Someone got behind her with a tire iron.
You got anything? Prints, witnesses, anything?
We did. You wouldn't be walking out of here.
Is that a threat?
Absolutely.
In other words, you ain't got squad.
Look at her. Look at her. What we have is a dead body. And a very nice young lady will be dead by tomorrow if we don't do something to stop it. And I want Ray Jackson. And I want him now.
You know, beating up guys in handcuffs is very bad for your image.
Darnell shoves Kramer away.
Book him. Obstruction of justice.
You said you didn't have anything.
No, you said that.
Two uniformed cops hustle Kramer out. In a shopping mall, Susan and two teenage girlfriends step onto a down escalator. Susan's eyes focus on Carla, a bespectacled, plain-looking girl in a hat.
Oh no, that's her. The light on my freakish brother's light. Look at those glasses. I can't believe it's Courtney's sister.
I know, this dance is major. If she shows up with a member of my family looking like that, it'd be a disaster.
Totally. I mean, forget about head cheerleader.
Oh, I refuse to let little Miss Einstein ruin my life. Come on, we've got work to do.
Carla's reading a book at a cafe table.
Carla Solomon, you're coming with us.
But I'm supposed to meet my mother here.
They march her to a hair salon.
Taking me.
One makeover coming up.
Hello? Anybody home?
Kathy smiles and takes off her jacket.
Great.
She flops on the couch.
Oh. Oh, hi, Mom. You know Jenna and Madison.
Hi, Mrs. Davis. Oh.
And have you met Carla?
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Hey. Davis.
Hey, it's such a pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Jack and Nick run in.
That's the best.
scratch one potential science fair project. I told you our rocket engine wouldn't work on a model airplane.
Carla?
Her specs have gone.
You look like a cheerleader.
And do you like it?
Oh, it's different. What about you? Do you like it?
I like it. Now, can I see your project?
She puts her specs back on.
Okay, it doesn't look too good right now.
I'll be right back.
The girlfriends go upstairs.
See? I told you. Not all cool kids want to be smart, but all smart kids want to be cool.
There's something to be said for the development of social skills.
Skills? You should have seen Carla at the mall. Her own mother didn't even recognize her. She said she forgot she didn't know what floor to pick her up on.
Wait a minute. What'd you say?
That she made up some lame excuse about what floor she'd meet us on.
Thank you. Just help me solve a puzzle that's been driving me crazy.
Okay.
The LA skyline in hazy sunshine. Kathy hurtles down a wide city road. She pulls up outside Mac's house and gets out. Mac is cleaning his motorcycle in the neat front garden.
Hey, Mac, can I come in? Talk to you? Thanks.
Anybody ever tell you anything about riding alone in this neighborhood?
Yeah, but I'm the type of person who believes that neighborhoods and people aren't as bad as they're made out to be. Like you, for instance.
For me?
Yeah, I checked. Your big felony record, that armed robbery conviction, turns out to be an ancient accessory beef from a botched convenience store holdup that you didn't even do. Otherwise, the Navy SEALs wouldn't have taken you or given you an honorable ticket, right?
Max stands up.
So I was stupid when I was 16, so what?
Yeah, well, I don't think Hermione's hideaway fired you. I think you quit.
Why would I quit?
Well, because they immediately blamed you for Caroline Rafelson's disappearance, and that ticked you off.
They blame me as much as they want. Why would I care about some rich white lady?
I think you do care, Mac. I think you liked her. I don't think you want to see her hurt or killed. Look, Mac, we're running out of time. She's running out of time. I need your help.
I don't know what they're paying you at the CSA, but they sure are getting their money's worth.
He moves nearer to her.
Yeah, you know, I like Miss Rafelson. She was all right. She wasn't one of the kinds who, stayed at the manicurist or the hair salon all day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's a scuba diver, too. Did you know that? She was really good, too. Deep dives, open water. She even explored caves. Really good diving. We used to flash diving signs to each other. Scuba divers say, okay, like this. Because when you're underwater, this...
Thumb up.
Means you're going up.
Oh, I can see why you wouldn't want to confuse her.
You know, come to think of it, you asked me if I was sure that it was Miss Rafelson that was rolled into the elevator on Friday morning. It would have had to have been because when she left, she did just like this. You take care of yourself now.
She forms an O with her thumb and forefinger.
Nobody else would have done that.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to know. Oh, wait. Did Anna Reichman ever mention her mother or the expensive jewels she gave her? Ever?
No. No, she said her mom died when she was a kid. That's what she said.
Why does that not surprise me? You know, Mac, the CSA could always use a former Navy SEAL. Would you like me to bring you an application?
He shrugs.
Yeah, sure. Can I put you down as a reference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brant swims the crawl to the side of his pool, which is shaded by palm trees. He shakes the water from his hair.
Tommy, come here a second.
What have you heard from our favorite federal prosecutor?
Nothing yet.
What's he waiting so long for? What's the world coming to when a man won't step forward to save his kidnapped wife?
Maybe they don't get along too well, and he's happy to have the house to himself. Give it a little while longer. Do your best to stay on top of it.
No problem, boss.
Wilbur gets out of a lift at Hermione's hideaway and meets Kathy in the clinic's multi-story garage.
Did you find Miss Anna?
No. I didn't think she'd be at home, and I didn't think she'd be at work either.
Is that why you wanted me to meet you in the parking garage?
Oh, no. I just wanted to check something out down here before I filed my report.
And did it check out?
Yep.
Okay, then.
Wait. No, come back. No, I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Think about Friday morning when you put Mrs. Rafelson in the wheelchair. Is there anything else you can remember? Anything at all? Just close your eyes and picture how it happened.
Wilbur does a flashback.
It's my job to get the wheelchair ready and make sure the patients are comfortable. Oh, there was something. The footrests were sticky, and I told myself, be sure to put the oil on them. I even wrote oil on my hand so I wouldn't forget. Miss Anna took Mrs. R to the car. When she brought the chair back, I went to put the oil on, but the
the footrests weren't sticky at all. Does that sound dumb?
No. That's the smartest thing I've heard all day. Thank you, Wilbur.
Bye.
Bye, Wilbur.
Kathy beams at him. Wilbur waves her off.
Bye.
Kathy hurries into CSA HQ. Darnell's in a tux and bow tie.
Frank, now I know for sure who kidnapped Caroline Rafelson. It was the nurse, Anna Reichman. Wow. Great suit. You have a hot date?
No, it's just the Fleming shindig thing. I'm just trying to support Phil. What were we saying?
Oh, that's right. Anna. See, I liked her for it ever since I saw her jewelry. You know, you can't do sapphires on a budget. I've tried. It was so easy. It was right in front of me. I couldn't figure it out until I realized when the switch was made. Now, you remember, Anna was the one that took Caroline to the elevator.
A flashback. Anna pulls the chair into the lift.
Well, she must have pushed the button not to level 2, where the limo was, but to level 1.
As Anna wheels Caroline out at level 1, the identically dressed Holly is wheeled in front of her. Caroline starts.
What's happening?
Take it easy.
Shut her up.
It's all right. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Okay, good.
Just, come on.
Good girl.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, let's get her out of here. Come on.
You just relax. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay. Go, let's go.
There you go.
Get her the hell out of here.
Kramer holds Caroline while Anna injects her. Kramer and his bearded colleague, who was the passenger in the brown car, wheel Caroline away onto level 1 of the garage. Anna puts Holly in her wheelchair into the lift.
So it would have taken no time at all to make the switch. And then Anna continued down to level 2 and wheeled Holly to the limo, and off they went to Dr. Manser's office.
Gregor waits as Anna wheels Holly to the stretch limo. Anna turns away with a relieved smile as the limo drives off.
Wilbur realized that the sticky footrests weren't sticky anymore, because it wasn't the same chair.
Well, that explains what happened to the real wheelchair, but what happened to the real Caroline?
Anna brings her a drink.
There you go. Why don't you take some fluids? That'll help flush your system.
Caroline's out of her bandages.
That's a good girl.
Hurt.
I know, I understand. You just rest. Everything is working out just fine.
So sleepy.
Phil strides into CSAHQ.
Frank, we can forget the investigation. I decided to drop the charges against Ray Jackson.
Wait.
No, you can't do it. I have to. Caroline is my life. I don't care about nailing Jackson anymore.
Phil, we have every reason to believe that he's holding your wife hostage.
Actually, not really. I mean, Jackson's the ransom, but we have no proof that he's actually a kidnapper.
Well, who else but Jackson would have made all those ransom demands?
Well, that's a good question, but here's another. Why would a man who has 50 career criminals at his fingertips hire a outside nurse and a PI for such a delicate job? It just doesn't make any sense, Phil.
I know you've both done the best job you can, but the stakes are too high. First thing in the morning, I'm dismissing the charges against Ray Jackson with prejudice.
Phil, listen, you need to be patient. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Right now, let's go to the party.
I wish I didn't have to go for this charade.
Look, hey, we got everything covered, okay? We go to the party, we'll make it short and sweet, all right? Let's go.
Aside to Kathy.
Keep looking, see if you can connect Ray Jackson to Anna Reichman.
Okay.
She goes to Marvin.
Anna Reichman.
Yes. Let's check out her bank records. See if there's been any big deposits lately.
Who's writing her all these checks? Got it. Parkfields Development Corporation for consulting services. Nice and vague.
Parkfields. Pull it up. That name was all over Ray Jackson's office.
So Reichman's working for Jackson?
I don't think so, but maybe they were getting paid by the same person?
Parkfields Development Corporation.
Yes, exactly. See if we can find their board of directors.
Got it.
He studies the info on his screen.
No, I've never heard of anyone on the board.
Are you kidding me? Look at the CEO. I'm going to a party. There's the wrong face up there. Wait for my call.
The CEO is Parker Fleming. Night, Kathy arrives home.
Oh, honey,
You look so handsome in a suit, you should wear one more often.
Only when I have to chaperone a dance. You want to come?
I did it last year. It's your turn.
Nick, Susan, we got to roll.
Yeah, you're going to be late. You look so cute, baby.
I look like a dork.
You are a dork.
Susan?
Can I stay at Quentin's tonight? I'm staying at Jenna's.
I like your brother's approach better, but yes. Bye.
And bye, honey.
Bye.
The moment they've left, Kathy races upstairs. She sorts through clothes in her wardrobe and takes out a strappy little number and a long blonde wig. She throws them on the bed and begins to undress. Kathy puts on makeup. She finishes off with a neutral skin-coloured lipstick. She admires herself in a mirror and flips back her long hair to reveal sparkling, dangly earrings. Kathy smiles and walks away. Kathy puts on her shawl as she runs out of the house. Marvin picks her up.
All right, Marvin, let's go.
It's me, Jane.
Wow. Boy like Jane.
Her silvery dress is low cut and embroidered with shiny beads. Marvin drives off. Lights shine out from Fleming's opulent home. Trees dotted about the manicured garden are lit with white fairy lights. Marvin pulls up in front of the house and a flunky opens the car door for Kathy.
Thank you.
Marvin drives away. A guard runs a metal detector over Kathy before she enters the house.
Okay. Oh. Did you have to buy me dinner before you do that?
Kathy slips off her shawl and hands it to an attendant as she enters the grand foyer.
Thank you.
Fleming to Phil.
Jordan here is one of your most influential supporters.
Oh, thank you. That's very good.
He's contributed to your campaign in a number of areas. And I think he's going to try to get out the vote for you, isn't he?
Kathy takes champagne from a waiter's tray.
Oh, thank you.
Would you excuse me for a moment? Thank you.
Donnell turns to Kathy.
Miss, are you here by yourself?
You trying to pick me up?
He eyes her.
What are you doing here?
We're barking up the wrong tree, Frank.
Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Parker Fleming was paying off Anna Reichman.
You think Parker Fleming had Anna Reichman kidnap his best friend's wife and then frame Ray Jackson, his own client, for the crime?
Yeah, it sounds a little crazy, but makes sense.
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense.
Look, Frank, you gotta call in your boys.
Look, if this is true, we're gonna have to prove it.
I'm working on it. Go back to your blonde.
Kathy hurries up some stairs, scans about, then walks over to a door. As she moves her hand towards the handle, it turns and the door opens. Kathy darts away and hides behind a large leafy plant in a corner. She peeps out to see Anna, who comes out of the room carrying a glass and a bowl on a tray. Kathy watches as Anna, who's wearing an elegant halter-neck dress, scans about warily, closes the door and makes her way down the stairs. Kathy sneaks back to the white door and picks the lock on it. She enters the luxurious room and runs over to the double bed where Caroline lies attached to a drip.
Wow,
who are you?
I'm here to take you out of here. Come on.
How do we do that?
We walk, Caroline. Come on. Up, up, up. Oh. Up, up, up. Legs over here. Come on, come on, come on. Ooh. Kind of conspicuous. Okay. Just hold on. Wait. Up. Come on. Good morning. Here we go. Arms up. Excellent. Good work. Shame on you. You're way too pretty to do anything to your face. That's stylish in a desperate sort of way. No. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. One foot ahead of the other. Put a martini in your hand. You look like everybody else.
Let's go. Where am I?
Why? I work for the government, you know that phrase, help us on the way? I'm pretty much it.
Okay. Kathy's wrapped a cover around scantily clad Caroline, who's drugged and drowsy. Kathy helps her to the door, opens it, and sees an armed security guard on the landing. Kathy closes the door again.
I'll just wait here for me, okay? I'll be back in a second.
Kathy props Caroline against a wall and heads out. Caroline, who has a plaster across her nose, sinks to the floor. Kathy goes up behind the guard.
Excuse me, officer. There's a drunken senator in that bedroom and he's getting out of hand. I think you should check on him.
The uniformed guard goes to look, and Kathy returns to the room. Checking it's all clear, Kathy steers woozy Caroline out.
There you go. Relax right up here.
John!
That's good, that's good.
You made it! It's good to see you.
Fleming pats a guy on the back. Brandt has entered. Fleming's smile fades.
Alex, what the hell are you doing here?
Mr. Beck.
We need to talk, Mr. Fleming.
Kathy watches them from the landing as Brandt leads Fleming away. Kathy steers Caroline into another upstairs room and closes the door behind them. Caroline sways on her feet. Kathy parks Caroline in a large window and they both hide behind curtains. Fleming enters with Brandt and his men.
Do you have any idea how important this event is tonight? For the future of our organization?
Without my money, there would be no organization. So let's get down to business. I don't want to be here any longer than necessary.
Good.
As you know, the CSA still hasn't released Ray Jackson. We need a new front. Now.
Well, it'll take me some time to find another setup like this.
Oh, I hope not. For your sake, I don't want there to be another interruption.
Caroline comes out of hiding.
Parker?
Who is this woman?
I don't know.
What's happening? I think
this is Phil Rafelson's wife?
Brandt draws back the other curtain.
And who's this woman?
Actually, I was just looking for the bar. Really.
Brandt grabs her.
Woo! Hi!
Are you on the guest list?
Yeah, I know, Phelan.
I don't have time for this. Deal with her. Nice operation. I'll be sure and tell my associates. Unacceptable in my organization.
Brandt and his men storm out. Kathy nods to Caroline. Fleming pulls a gun.
You don't know who you're dealing with.
No, I think I do. You're working for Darnell.
Darnell bursts in and grabs Fleming.
Actually, we work together.
So you kidnapped this woman and then financed your best friend's campaign with your dirty money, huh?
Nobody's perfect, sweetheart.
Marvin, did you get all that?
Loud and clear, Jane. Loud and clear.
Think you did.
Let's go, counselor.
Darnell steers Fleming out. Kathy turns to Caroline.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Darnell holds on to Fleming as they walk through the gathering. Darnell calls in his armed agents.
Go!
The agents surround Brandt and his two henchmen. The latter raise their hands.
You did call for backup. Thanks.
Anytime.
Brandt eyes the guns pointed at him, rolls his eyes, and mockingly raises his hands. Darnell and Kathy stand outside the front of the house and watch as Anna is escorted to a marked police car and Brandt to a CSA car.
Watch your head, sir.
Fleming is escorted to another CSA car. He glares back over his shoulder at Darnell and Kathy. Phil puts his jacket around Caroline.
Keep this on. Stay warm.
I can't thank you enough.
We were just doing our job.
Thank you so much, Miss...
Jane. Jane Doe.
Let's get you home.
Darnell reaches out a hand to assist Caroline to a CSA car. Phil also helps and guides her in.
Watch your head.
You know, I feel responsible that Ray Jackson is sitting in a cell for a crime he didn't commit, even though the money was laundered through the construction company. I don't think he knew anything about it.
We're going to release him as soon as we can.
You know, there's a moral to this story.
Yeah, what is it?
You can never trust a lawyer.
I'll try to remember that.
I'll see.
Phil gets in the car. The chauffeur-driven car reverses away.
I think we can call it a night.
Party's kind of over, huh?
You were great in there.
So are you.
See you around.
Maybe.
She makes to go.
Hey, Frank. Hey, you know that tux is pretty hot. You should keep it in your playbook.
They exchange a smile and walk away from each other. Jack arrives home.
Honey, next date was a huge success. Susan's reputation remains intact.
The room is candlelit. Jack gapes as Kathy slinks in, still glammed up and carrying drinks.
Well, hello, gorgeous.
All alone. For the rest of the night.
They sip martinis.
Looks that way.
Jack takes their drinks and puts them down. He turns back to Kathy and slowly moves in close to her.
Nice.
They embrace and writhe slowly as they kiss and fall back onto the couch. A phone sits on a stand on a candlelit table beside the couch. ITFC audio description.